Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click radio show. Hey, welcome to today's show. This is Ken on Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. And I'm here with my co-host, the doctor.
Do-do-do-do.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome.
Thank you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing great, man.
Good.
You know, 2020 is almost over.
It is.
Yeah.
It was the week of Christmas.
Yeah. And it's the week of Christmas.
Yes. And, all through the studio.
I don't know. There's some creatures there. The dogs running around and
yep.
Stuff. Yeah,
so. Kids are running. Dogs are running around. Yeah. Yes.
But, we have a great show today.
Who we have today?
We have Barbia Williams.
Ooh.
And Bia Williams.
Okay.
Her daughter. They are joining us. Barbia is the founder of Barbia Williams Performing Company.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and what they are is a premier African-centered performing company.
Mm.
And she's going to be talking about us, about all the things that they've done in the community, all the different programming and things that they've done. And it's going to be a really great conversation. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. She's been around forever.
Yeah, she has. She's been around Tucson for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's done a lot of different events, and I've seen a lot of her students over time.
Mm-hmm.
And in different dance events and recitals, and so it's great. It's going to be a great conversation. So I would say, my listening audience, please stick around.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to really enjoy the second half of the show.
I agree.
All right. So what are we talking about today, Dr. Jones?
Ooh, I heard we're talking about some chicken.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my chicken.
So we're going to talk about smoked chicken wings today.
I got experience in this.
Chicken wings on the grill.
Aha.
Yeah. It's, you know, the thing is, we're going to delve a little bit into the history of this whole wing thing.
Yeah. And there's also different types of wings. There's wing pieces. There's chicken wings. I'm quite confused.
Sometimes
I'm looking at
so
chicken
wings. So you have the whole wings,
mm-hmm.
and you have the party wings.
Yeah. Okay.
Right,
got it.
Right,
yeah.
But the whole thing sort of, this whole wing craze started with buffalo wings.
Really?
Yeah, buffalo. And
buffaloes don't have wings.
Yeah, buffaloes don't have wings. Do they?
Such a name.
But the thing is, the whole wing craze,
yeah.
it started in Buffalo, New York.
Oh, that makes right. so much more sense than buffaloes having wings.
Right. So it started in Buffalo, New York, and it said a couple of different people take credit for the first buffalo wings, and that was many moons ago. I think late 60s, 70s, they started this whole wing thing.
Really?
Yeah. But these buffalo wings, so they became popular back in New York.
Oh, wow.
Right.
And okay.
Yeah, so the buffalo wing typically is fried and is dipped in like a vinegar-based cayenne pepper hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Hot sauce. Yeah. So they basically use dipped in hot sauce.
Yeah.
Right. So you take a fried wing,
mm-hmm.
dip it in hot sauce,
yep.
and the typical buffalo wing is not breaded.
Really?
Yes, yeah, unbreaded wing dropped in hot sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. And traditionally, it's served with carrot sticks,
uh-huh.
celery sticks.
Right.
And then it always has a dipping sauce.
Right. Ranch or
well,
barbecue or whatever you're looking for.
Well,
right.
Okay. So the traditional buffalo wings out of New York. It was blue cheese.
Really?
Right. And a lot of people, you know, they get wings and now, but outside of New York.
Yes.
Most people use ranch.
Right. Yeah.
But it started out, it was, and so buffalo wings, traditionally, it's the wing and the hot sauce and it's blue cheese dressing.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, blue cheese dressing. So tell me, blue cheese or ranch guy?
Ooh, I like ranch, but I'm willing to try some blue cheese. You know, I'm not biased in any form.
I'm a blue cheese guy. You know, I am a buffalo wing purist.
Oh, got it, got it. Right. From all your travels, right?
Yeah, I'm a buffalo wing purist.
Okay,
so I started eating wings with blue cheese dressing, and I just acquired the taste for it.
So where did you have your first set of buffalo wings then?
Yeah, actually, I do not recall.
No? Okay.
No, I do not recall, but I've been eating, wings a long time. But today, so another way to cook these wings, you can still have some of the traditional barbecue, the traditional buffalo flavors on the wings.
Right.
But we're going to smoke them instead of frying them, instead of throwing them in oil.
Yeah.
So we're going to smoke them or grill them. It can be.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to smoke wings today.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to talk about. The thing about it is the wings you can find, and we're going to talk about whole wings or the
party wings.
The jointed wing, the disjointed, where you have the drumette and then you have the flat.
Right.
And most times when you buy a bag of those party wings, the little part of on the end is gone. So we're only talking about two parts of the wing unless we're cooking the whole wing.
Got it. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so the thing is you can find those at almost any grocery store. Typically you'll find them frozen most of the time, and or your meat store, meat market, whatever. They'll have them too.
When I go over there, they have it already packed up, ready to go.
And the thing is, you can buy them in the frozen bag. You can get them frozen. What they call IQF. IQF is individually quick frozen. So that's individually quick frozen.
Nope, got it.
IQF, that's what it stands for. So when you buy that bag of wings and they're not all clumped together, you can pull a frozen piece out.
That's really easy.
That's what you call IQF.
Got it.
All right.
IQF. Yeah.
Individually quick frozen. All right.
Now I know.
All right. Yeah. So you got your wings. And so we're going to talk about prepping them. So you just remove them from the package and you put them in like a bowl or a platter. So now we're talking about the rub and the seasoning.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's whatever flavor profile you're looking for.
Okay.
You know, in a restaurant, we have lemon pepper wings.
Yeah. I noticed that.
Typical Cajun wings. You have. Different types of spicy wings, or you can have them sweet, whatever flavor you want them.
Sweet, sour, barbecue,
so it's
teriyaki.
Sort of like, whatever kind of flavor profile you want. That's what you're going to put on the wings. I typically want to go, and I'm going with the trying to get it close to the typical like buffalo wing.
Oh, really?
Personally.
Really?
You know, when I'm cooking them for me around the house.
Yeah.
Or have some folks coming over. And we're going to, you know, watching the game, going to eat some wings. I'm going to go more of that.
The buffalo taste.
Flavor. But then there's a lot of folks that want like this teriyaki thing. And whatever.
Right. Where did that come from? Like, how did that get popular?
Teriyaki seasoning.
All right.
Whatever floats your boat.
Right. All right.
So the thing is, so you just get your rub, get your seasoning to whatever you want to. Now we talk about like a brine. Can you brine the wings? Yes, you can brine the wings.
Really?
You can brine or use some type of marinade.
Yeah.
So you can brine or you can marinade. We'll call it brine / marinade.
Yeah.
Whichever one you want to do.
Okay.
And so a lot of people will take the wings. And the thing is, like when you use a teriyaki sauce or something like that and marinate wings, anything sweet or whatever, you got to really be careful because you can easily burn the wings because of sugar content.
I was about to say.
There. But I mean, you could also put it, you could marinate them in some hot sauce or some other things you could marinate and just kind of like wipe off the wing after you've marinated it for a while. So you don't, you're not, just wipe it off and it's in the skin, it's in the meat.
Right. It's already went in. Mm-hmm. It's skin deep, if you will.
Right, yeah. It's a, and you don't want to burn the wing. No. You don't want to burn them as you're cooking one. And again, it's two things. We can grill these wings. Mm-hmm. So we're going to, you know, if we're going to cook them on a grill, and we'll set up the grill. We'll set it up for indirect heat.
Okay. Right. Okay.
We're going to have it over on the direct side for a little bit. Then we're going to put it on the oven, indirect side, and let it finish up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going to try to smoke these wings.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to the grill setup in a minute. So you can also, when you're putting these wings on, so say I just use the dry rub.
Yeah.
And there's some folks, and like DJ is one. Oh. You know? Yeah, DJ will likes to make what you call like a mop. I think we may have talked about a mop before.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. So he has these spices. Mm-hmm. And so as the wings are cooking, he'll take his mop and just kind of like, yeah,
start adding.
Just kind of mop the wings and adding and layering flavor on the wings. Now, DJ loves heat.
Yes, he does.
He loves heat.
Yes, he does. He's from Yuma, Arizona. Yeah, yes, he loves heat.
he loves some hot food.
Uh-huh.
And so he'll, you know, he'll have all kind of little peppers and other stuff in his little mop. And he'll just, as those wings are smoking, he'll every now and then he'll come out there and just mop those wings and building up that flavor, layering those flavors in. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do to these wings. You could just like, you know, one is you could just throw the rub on and smoke them.
Right.
You could use a marinade, smoke them. Or you could like use the rub and a mop or a spritz and smoke them.
Got it.
You know, during that and smoking them. So, I mean, there's different things you could do. And I think when you've cooked wings, which you cook wings a lot.
Yeah.
You haven't used the mop or the spritz.
No.
To this.
At this time, no. I'm just doing a dry rub on them.
Right.
Just rubbing them down. I do the olive oil first.
Yeah, olive oil.
And then I do I figure out which rubs I'm going to use, and then I just rub them down.
Right.
Really rub them down.
Well, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I mean, that's easy.
Flavorful.
That's an easy way to do it. It's a flavorful way.
Yeah.
And these are just other ways to layer more flavor, add more flavor, add more heat. Mm-hmm. And also, as you're doing it, add some moisture.
I like that. Right. Yeah.
As you a mop or a spritz. And,
yeah.
Right. So anyway, so we're going to cook these wings and we're going to do these more or less, I would say, low and slow.
Okay.
I'm not going to cook them fast. So we're going to set up the grill. Mm-hmm. I would say medium heat. I would set it up two zones and the temperature we're trying to cook at is 225 to 250 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Not bad.
Right. And then we plan to cook these wings about 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Indirect, slow.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're going to cook them, man, because we're smoking. We want to get some smoke in them. Mm-hmm. We're going to build. One of the other things is put together the little
smoke pouch.
Smoke pouch. Or if you have that container. You have the little chip container.
Yeah, that's on my Christmas container. List.
Right,
yes.
That's on your Christmas list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're doing this after Christmas, I'm pretty sure somebody has that and is planning to, you know, Santa or somebody,
you know,
is planning to give you that.
I'm hoping Santa comes this week. I've been good all year.
Right. So you have... So we're going to set up because we want the wood chips. And that's on a gas grill. We don't have to worry about that if we're cooking with charcoal or pellets or anything like that.
Right.
So then we're going to put those wings on. And again, and I say this all the time, that, okay, so the internal temperature we're trying to reach is 165 degrees.
Right.
Which is the most important temperature.
Right.
So grills cook differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some are hotter, some are cooler.
Sure.
And this is, even in Arizona, it's a little chilly outside.
Right, especially at night.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, especially at night, it's a little chilly.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the thing is, you want to reach that 165 degrees internal temperature with the wings, and then they're done.
Yeah.
And once the wings are done, you want to let them sit for about 5 minutes. And then if you made some type of sauce, and like at the restaurant, we have several different sauces.
Right.
We have what we call a honey gold sauce. We have our Cajun sauce. And then at that point, you could either dip them in a sauce or take those wings and basically toss them in a sauce.
Put them in a pan, right.
Add the sauce and toss them in there right before you're ready to serve.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
Right, so then they're still going to have some crunch and a little crispiness if you toss them right before. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is, when you have the little sauce that you made, just keep it warm. Keep it warm on the stove.
Yeah.
And then right before you're ready to serve the wings, add it, toss the wings.
Yeah.
And then you can put them on the platter to serve. Oh.
That sounds so amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
I'm salivating just thinking about it.
Yeah, I love chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So easy.
And so the thing is, and you can do, you can do the same thing with whole wings.
Yeah.
It just takes a little longer to cook, but same process.
Right.
And same internal temperature.
Of course.
And you can toss or not toss.
That is the question.
That is the question. But the thing, I mean, if you built in the flavor, then you really don't need a dipping sauce or whatever.
Right.
But if you just want to go plain, like you just want to go, say, kosher salt and a little pepper or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you want to add those other flavors in the sauce, that's perfectly fine too.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Easy breezy.
Yeah. So like you cook wings a lot, maybe you'll try some of these other techniques.
Yeah.
The next time you cook wings.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been doing it on high heat. I've been doing it as a grilling. So I'll try smoking it next time. Let's see what happens.
Try smoking.
Yeah.
That'll be good. And the other thing is with, I told you about the IQF and you had that bag of frozen wings. But actually, you really don't need to thaw. It'll take a little time, but you could put those frozen wings on the grill, especially if you're smoking them. So you could take them if you don't have a lot of time and you know, hey, let's go run to the store and grab a bag of wings. You don't really have to let those frozen party wings thaw.
Oh, how cool.
Right. You can season them up, put them on the smoker, and they'll be fine.
Oh, awesome. Mop them every now and again. As they're thawing out.
So if you're in a hurry, I would definitely have some mop and also some maybe spritz or whatever that you're going to add to it as it's cooking.
Yeah.
Right.
Layer the flavors.
All right, Doctor. That's the wings.
Cool.
That's the wings. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, well, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we will answer a listener question, and then we're going to check in with the doctor.
Woo-hoo!
We'll be right back. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and Southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together and fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on. Hey, welcome back from the break. This is Ken from Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor. Dr. Andre Jones.
Hello, hello.
Doctor.
Yeah.
It's time for us to answer a listener question. What do we have today?
Ooh, and I got a good one. I have a good one. This is coming from Mary from Little Rock, Arkansas. And she is asking, how do you grill? How's the best way to grill corn on a cob?
Wow, corn on the cob. All right.
I don't think we talked about corn on the cob in the show.
We have not. We talked about grilling vegetables.
Yeah.
But corn on the cob was not one of them.
Right.
And corn on the cob is fairly easy to grill on the grill.
Really?
To cook on the grill. Yes, it is.
Well, tell me how. Okay, I'm sitting here taking notes.
So the way I prefer to do it is to keep it with the husk on.
Oh.
Yeah. You don't shuck the corn before you cook it.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you don't. So what I like to do is take that corn on a cob, unshucked, and you soak it in water.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least an hour or so before you are ready to cook it.
Okay.
And you just soak it in water.
Okay.
Then you just take it and place it on the grill. You place it direct heat on the grill. You can put it on like medium.
Okay.
And you just turn it. Just, you know, turn it as you're going. And then what happens is that water starts to evaporate. It's in there. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like steams that corn. And
wow.
Where it'll look brown and, you know, it'll start like look wilting on yeah. the outside. But when you pull that corn off the grill, man, yeah, then you shuck it.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, and I ain't jiving.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, yeah. And so then Ooh. You take it and you take all that off, take all the silk off, and,
yeah.
you know, wipe the silk off, and then you just kind of like roll it in some butter.
Mm.
Add whatever kind of spices you want. Ooh. You know. Yeah, yeah. You can add a little seasoned salt, some other things on that fresh corn on the cob, but that is the best way to cook it. The best way to cook it is soak it at least an hour before you're ready to throw it on the grill. Put
yeah.
it on a grill, medium heat. It could be a gas grill, or it could be a charcoal grill,
mm-hmm.
and then you just turn it, you know, keep turning it, and I'd say give it anywhere from 30 minutes to or so.
Okay. All right. And it's going to ask.
It should be ready.
Wow.
Right.
That easy.
That easy. It's that easy.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Like I said, it'll look really like dried out on the outside,
mm-hmm.
but when you peel it, it'll be delicious.
Ooh, especially with that butter. And the seasoning.
And the seasoning. Some people just do a little salt and pepper, mm-hmm. but you know, you can do that. Some people, you like to use some spicy kinds of
Ooh.
Seasoning and on that corn. And
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know, I just ate and now I'm hungry again.
Right? Yeah, so that's it. That's how you do it.
Wow, easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Mary, for the question.
Absolutely. And for all the other listeners out there who want to leave us a question, you can leave a question sending us an email to getyourbbqon@gmail.com.
All right. So it's that time of the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Where we check in with the doctor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Our grill. Pitmaster in training.
Oh, not Harley. Me.
Right? Yeah.
I keep pointing at Harley, but no.
Yeah. Harley's the next.
Right.
Yeah. She's considering signing up for.
Right. She needs to sign up for the program.
Right.
She really does.
She's been considering.
Yeah. For a while now.
Yeah.
It's been 6 months.
Yeah, we're going to check in with our grill pitmaster in training, Dr. Andre Jones.
Dun, dun, dun. And I have a story for you, and I'll do it all in story form.
All right, doctor, what's happening?
So here I am. It's Saturday, and Saturday evening, I've been napping all day, and I realized that today was the day. Today was the day that I was going to make some pork chops.
Ooh.
That's right. Not just any pork chops. The pork chops that we talked about a couple episodes ago.
Right.
And I was going to attempt the berry
reduction.
Yes. The berry reduction.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So.
You keep saying was.
Was. I was. I was going to. And I did. So. But let me tell you how it came about.
Okay.
So I run to the store, which was ironic because I ran to the store earlier that morning and then realized I had to go back to the store again. I do that a lot. This is why I live close to a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. Right across the street.
Yep, pretty much. So I get some pork chop,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at it, and it was only there was a pack of two. I'm like,
okay.
Well, that's perfect for just me. It was just me and the dog. The dog's not going to have any. I'm going to have one and leftovers.
All right.
And I wanted something else with my pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to think about what's the plate going to look like.
Right,
that's the first thing I do always before I cook.
Yeah,
what's this plate going to look like? And I said, how about some rice and gravy?
Mm-hmm.
How about some green beans?
Yeah.
And how about a sweet roll? Because that's my go-to.
Yeah.
And pork chop.
Right.
So I find the pork chops and they're nice and big and look delicious. And I got home. And I start listening to the episode again, so that way I knew what I was going to be doing.
Right.
Thank goodness for these shows and that they're recorded. For those who don't know, it's you can find Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor.fm. That's Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Okay, so anyway, so I'm looking at the pork chops, and I was like, okay, so let me find some seasoning.
Yes.
What are we going to throw on this? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want barbecue because that's not what I was going for.
Right.
So I chose some garlic salt and some hickory. That was what my rub was going to be.
Okay.
So I rubbed them both and they're smelling delicious. Mm. It was smelling really, really good already.
Yeah.
Put it to the side and I started before I worked on the pork chops because those are going to cook fast.
Right.
The berry reduction. And I picked blueberries. In honor of you, I picked blueberries.
All right, my favorite.
Yep.
My favorite.
I mean, they looked great. So I put them in my little pot. So here's where the fun begins. I put water in there.
Yes.
But I never knew how much water to put in there. So I thought I would put a little bit too much water. And I put about a spoonful of sugar
because it was not enough.
Right, that's what I realized very quickly. And I started to let it go. And I was really watching it because I wanted to see these berries get reduced, if you will.
Right.
And it was actually a really fun thing to watch. As actually, it was right fast. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's turning into like ooze. Yeah, like it's becoming a sauce, really. Mm-hmm. And I'm throwing a little bit more sugar in there and I'm tasting it as it goes. The whole house is smelling like this. Oh, it was so good. So good as a smell. So anyway, cooked the rice, cooked the green beans, finished the berry reduction, which it took about a half an hour to do it all, which was fine. I put everything in its container because I did not want to like do that at the end. I wanted to just sit down and eat.
Yes.
And then throw my plate away because I have paper plates.
Okay.
Which I learned I couldn't do because of the pork chop. So I had to get a real plate. So I actually had to wash my plate. Anyway, so the berry reduction is done.
Right.
And now it was time for the main event called the pork chops. And I looked on my, because I don't have indirect heat.
Okay.
I just have direct heat.
Yep, it's fine.
So
but the chops are going to be direct.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Because we said just do indirect heat and then you do it a little bit with like medium heat-ish is what we talked about.
Yeah, we said high heat.
Yeah, medium heat. Yeah. Right. And really, that's what I did. It was high heat and then it was low is what my instruction manual to my my grill said.
Right.
So at first flip, man, that it has some really good
grill marks.
Real good grill marks.
Right.
I had some apple juice in my spritz. Mm-hmm. I used that as my spritz. Mmm. That layer of flavor was just perfect. And I flipped it again. So I flipped it one time on high heat, flipped it again on high heat, reduced it to low heat, and then flipped it twice also. So it was about done in about 8 minutes.
Okay.
It was, so it was like 2, 2, 2, 2.
Yeah.
Put on the plate, start making my plate, let it rest for 5 minutes, put everything together on my paper plate, which was hilarious because I tried to cut it on my paper plate, almost broke the plate and flipped everything over, put it on my real plate. And I sat down and I took the first bite of the pork chop because I wanted to taste the pork chop alone. And I'm like, oh, this is great. The second bite I took and I dipped it in the berry reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, I will never eat another pork chop the same way ever again.
Yeah, so
this,
like that pairing.
Oh my gosh, the combination of flavors, like it was the best thing I have ever tasted.
Yeah.
Like the pork chop was gone, at least in 5 minutes later, I'm just like destroying the pork chop and everything else. I mean, I cleared the plate and I was like, should I have the other pork chop? Or should I save it? Just in case, but I'm like, let me save it. It was so good. And really it was that berry reduction that just, the flavors, I can't explain it. I'm salivating just thinking about it. Just the flavors, the flavor combination was just right on point and perfect. It was super good. Thank you for that.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is it's simple.
It really is.
It's a simple recipe.
Yeah.
Right.
And literally, you just let it go and just keep adding sugar as it goes. And it's perfect. Really, just really perfect.
Well, that's so great, man.
Yeah.
That's another gold star for the doctor.
Yay. I went to go get my daughter and I came back in the house. I was like, smells like pork chop and berry reduction around here. It's good. I can sit right here and just smell this. So
all right.
It was really good. This week, it's Christmas. And so I'm grilling
ribs.
I'm barbecuing ribs.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to do 3 racks.
Oh, wow.
2 hours each. So I'm going to be standing by the grill for 6 hours. So
well, you've been doing an excellent job this year.
No, thank you.
Dr. Jones.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Grill master in training.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pit master in training.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
But I know we met a lot of goals this year. I think you've reached a lot. You've made a lot of different dishes and you certainly have a lot of gold stars.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
But I know one of the objectives this year was
oh god. I was like, where is he going with this?
I know one of the objectives was finding a woman.
No, right.
where are we with that?
Oh. So that was a great segment with Dr. Robert Jones. That was great.
Okay.
Thank you for checking in.
We're still working on that one.
Still working.
Yeah, we're just gonna move as 2020 goes away.
Yes.
We slide in 2021. We're just gonna take some of those objectives that we didn't reach and goals that we had, and we just move them over.
Exactly. We're just moving it over. We're not berry reductioning any of the goals. Right. We're just moving them over. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So,
well, I mean, so when we go into our 102.
Oh, right. Yeah.
As we go into grill and pit master 102.
Oh, here we go.
2021.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that should be in there, right?
Yeah, I think that will help.
Right, of course. Yes, right. Another stomach to test on. Right, of course.
Right.
You know, I can't go to 201 until I pass, at least get that requirement done. Got it.
Yeah.
Feed a woman my food. That's me.
But anyway, doctor, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
And we will definitely check in with you next week.
Yeah, I'll let you know how...
The ribs.
Yes.
Go.
And
yeah.
I promise I'm not going to put sauce on them. It's sauce is going to be on the side. Sauce on the side. They're going to be so good that they won't even need sauce. That's my goal.
As I was telling you the other day, our listening audience, you know, there was a few comments on like, why is the doctor slathering all that barbecue sauce on his ribs?
Yes. I do admit I did put a lot of barbecue sauce on ribs. It will not happen again.
All right. So it's time for us to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
But when we return, we're going to be here with Barbia and Bia Williams.
Woo-hoo!
And we're going to be talking about dance. We're going to be talking about African culture. It's going to be a great conversation. So please hang around. We'll be right back.
We here at Octavia Social Media Strategy support the brave men and women who risk their lives on the front line of this coronavirus. We ask that everybody protect themselves and each other by following all the basic steps necessary to curb this disease. Remember to wash your hands and wear your mask at all times because family and friends are the most important gifts on earth. Please visit our website at www.octavia.social to help join us in this effort. We look forward to working with you, and when it comes to social media, let us help you be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor,
dun, dun, dun.
Dr. Andre Jones,
mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of wonderful guests here today. We have Barbia Williams and Bia Williams of the Barbia Williams Performing Company,
mm-hmm.
And we've been really looking forward to them joining the show, and we're going to talk about dance and the arts, and welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yes, it's exciting to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. You know, the thing about it is when you think about dance and when you think about the arts and just especially African dance in Tucson,
mm-hmm.
I mean, really, when I talk to my friends and I see, you know, just different people around town, that is synonymous with Barbia Williams.
Very true.
And you
sound good.
Yeah, it is. And it's because it's true. And you've done so much in the community. Mm-hmm. And I've always wondered what brought you to Tucson to bring this art to Tucson?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I feel like the tumbleweed blew us here. We are truly a product of the wind and the, you know, El Norte, right? Mm-hmm. El South, there is survey. In this case, coming to the South, but you know what tumbleweeds are, right? You've been here long enough.
Yeah, I know what the tumbleweeds are. I used to watch a lot of Westerns back in the day, but I know what the tumbleweeds are. Yeah.
Okay, the tumbleweeds, that One Step Beyond movie.
Yeah, right.
I was born and raised on the South Side of Chicago, where the arts and culture and African-centered knowledge was just very profound. And I was there at the right time, at the right place, where I was able to learn from and grow from and ask questions to people, you know, even people, the Black Panthers, where, you know, they've been vilified, but they were very powerful in this struggle. And I think now when we began to really learn and understand what they were really about and help. And I saw it. I was a part of it. But it had to do with the gangs
were
recruiting my brothers from the South Side of Chicago. There's 10 of us that were born. And my brother right up under me, we called him, his nickname is Champ, mm-hmm. Marshall Turner Williams III, and my brother Lee and Thomas. They were young, but Champ was being heavily recruited. And you know, because you know these people, because they go to or used to went to school with you at one time,
right?
You know, or you see them on the corner. Unfortunately, some of them got pulled out by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Took
a lot of those people off the street.
The nation,
drunken drums and mm-hmm. addicts and people that couldn't control their lives. Mm-hmm. He took them off the street, but we had traveled to the Southwest as children, so we were familiar with Tucson because Nana lived here. My mother's adopted, they weren't officially adopted, but my mother was adopted initially, but this was a different grandmother, or Nana, we call mm-hmm, her, mm-hmm. that lived by us before our parents divorced. She lived right next door to us, and she was just really, you know, somebody we knew from, you know, little kids growing up. And right. Mary Banks was her name, and she lived on the east side of Tucson. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on our way to California, we stopped to visit. I just feel that whole thing of my brothers being recruited by the gangs, and mm-hmm. you know, either you have to join or, you know, you might get killed,
Right.
So my brother joined the Marines.
Oh, okay.
And he became a lifer in the Marines, and his wife and child, he had just got married and had just gone into the Marines. So all of this transitioned within about 6 months. We left. My mother sold our house in Chicago, and bought a house across the alley from my Nana. And, mm-hmm. I've been in and out and pretty much rooted myself here ever since. So
how old were you at that time?
I was about 17.
Wow.
So where did dance come into play?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a woman of African descent, you know, that Ogungun spirit, that's mm-hmm. what keeps you, it keeps you a part of your culture, whether it's, and how it manifests is in different places,
mm-hmm.
but it's always there with us. Whether we acknowledge it and honor it, it's a part of who we are. It's a part of that DNA that cannot be separated.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up dancing. My mother, first of all, my mother was a musician. She was a pianist, mm-hmm. and she could sing, and she was a ballroom dancer and did square dance. And
mm-hmm.
so we were often a part of, you know, even though I thought it was corny, but my older sister was real into it. It was not my, you know, it wasn't the twine or the jerk or, you know,
right, mm-hmm. right.
It wasn't the get down, the mashed potatoes, you know, we were getting down in our community. So, mm-hmm. but I did, I learned it because, you know, when you're doing a, when you're having partners, you have to have partners and you have to have a certain number mm-hmm. to make a set. And so in that set, a lot of times if somebody was late or if nobody showed up, you know, I'd be pulled in. So I learned right. how to Alaman left with the old left hand and, mm-hmm. you know, swing your partner and do-si-do. I'll be honest with you. I've danced. But my mother loved to dance. And so really what we did, even growing up, I call us the stair step children.
Mm-hmm.
She taught us how to cha-cha-cha and
combo
and cha-cha-cha. I mean, these were the, actually, she would line us up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 4. Actually, and my the baby Betty, she was a baby, but she would just be there like in a stroller type of thing.
Right.
And my mother would just, that was part of our entertainment. Mm-hmm. And she would dance with us. So all of that
right.
Afro-Cuban music
wow.
that was being exchanged at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with it. I mean, that's all like a matter of fact, it was, you know, in inside the house and then in certain places, you know, where we would go to parties with my mother's friends, then we would dance cha-cha-cha, you know. But it was just growing up with it. I was very, very fortunate. Her organizations, the Shy Squares and the Promenaders, they were two of the groups. They were actually, and she was with, they were professional square dancers. I mean, they were really good. So, I mean, I wasn't just sitting in on the little neighborhood group. These people, they were invited to President Carter's inauguration.
Wow. Okay. All right. Beautiful. Well, hey, it's time for us to take a break. We'll be right back with Barbria and Bia Williams. Hanging there. We'll be right back.
Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Kent's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on.
All right, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and we are here with Barbia and Bia Williams, and we're talking about the Barbia Williams Performing Company. So, Barbia, when and why did you start the performing company?
It was a process.
Mm-hmm.
And it started when I received a phone call. I was dancing with my friends Olivia Rojo and Rebecca Garrell and Rebecca Diaz, and we were just taking classes together here in Tucson. I was really new to Tucson at the time and the dance scene, and we were just taking classes at Oddfellas Hall, and a one that was working at the Tucson Parks and Recreation, Eileen Fuller,
mm-hmm.
he called me and asked me if I want to teach some African dance. And I was like, you know, I didn't really know African dance. So I knew how to dance it and to dance, but not.
Not African, you know, not traditional.
I wanted to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going back to Chicago, and actually I went to East St. Louis, Illinois, to the Moore Chom Dance and Drum Conference, and mm-hmm. I started studying dance, but I started teaching it also, because we were really fortunate at that time to have musicians. Ed Good was here, Talibu Ralph Drew still works with Maulana Karinga in California, and Norwood Rainey. We had these really fabulous musicians that knew the music.
Okay.
So I would, you know, I called it Afro.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best I could do. And I started teaching a class. At that time, it was called Randolph Park.
Right, at the Randolph Park, yeah.
Yeah. Same and my class was full. It was like about 60 people in it, but they were all non-black people.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. And so I asked them just directly, where are black people? How come there's no black people in my classes? Because, you know, they put out the registration and everything.
Yeah,
and
the so city of Tucson did. Parks and Rec facility. Right.
Right, Parks and Rec. And so they sent me over to called Santa Rita Park. The La Reforma was these projects. And they had, so they started, they allowed me to start a class over there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like on 22nd and 10th Avenue.
Right.
It's changed now, but because Drachman is over there, the school, elementary school,
right.
And there's some other homes. So the place that I was is not there anymore, that recreation center that they had there.
Mm-hmm.
And La Reforma is not there. But when I started going over there, Willie Ray Bell and Daryl Sean Chapel, they were the first people that I met.
Mm-hmm.
And they could dance. They could dance their butts off. And we just all needed more training, more exposure. Daryl was, or Sean, what we called him, was 5 years old. Willie was about 11.
Wow.
And I was about 17.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 18 by then. I don't know if I had, but I was older. I was the oldest of the three of us, but we just started dancing and we ended up calling ourselves Le Jinbu Dance and Drum Ensemble because Lola Rainey, native of Tucson, she's a Thai lawyer now, but she wrote this story, and her and Norwood end up getting married too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
that was so that we were all around each other and friends, and we she wrote a play that talked about the Le Jinbu, and we performed it, and so that's what we decided our name would be. Other facts and other people that were involved, but when Le Jinbu led into Ododo Theater with the late Bill Lewis,
mm-hmm.
the magnificent Bill Lewis, he was at Pima Community College. Mm-hmm. I was trying to establish residency before I transferred over to the U of A to finish school, and so I went to Pima, and Bill was there, and that's how I met Bill Lewis. And Bill was very influential in a lot of things, just exposing us. Johnny Greenwood, who was a backup singer for Harry Belafonte,
mm-hmm.
coming out of Caramel House out of Ohio, mm-hmm. out of Cleveland, Ohio. These were the people that, again, I'm working with Bill Lewis.
Yeah, all in Tucson.
Bill was just, mm-hmm.
I said right here in Tucson.
Right here in Tucson at Pima College. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. So what happened, I became the last of the three artistic directors for the Ododo Theater. And what was happening with our board and people, the dance was just so, it was calling us. And everybody wanted to see the Afro-Cuban, Afro-Haitian, Afro-Brazilian dances because I was studying, I was traveling.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that, you know, were from, you know, we had an international group that we were working with from various countries. And it was actually Dolores Batis. It was her idea. She says, Barbier, when you lose Ododo, you're going to lose your audience that knows Ododo. But you are the name that is associated with Ododo Theater. And I'm like, we're listening. We're in our board meeting. And she says, you need to name it Barbia Williams Performing Company,
oh, wow.
Barbia Williams whatever, just like Martha Graham, just like Katherine Dunham,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mentor name, say Katherine Dunham, any of these other, you know, or Alvin Ailey.
Right, Alvin
Ailey. You need to name it by your name because people are going to recognize it and it's going to, and she was right. She
right.
was absolutely mm-hmm. right. And that was definitely why it's now called Barbia Williams Performing Company, affectionately called BWPC, because it's time to pass that torch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the performing company. What do you do here in Tucson? What's the performing company all about?
So the Barbia Williams Performing Company is going into its 45th year. Which is super exciting. But what the company does is definitely bring arts and culture. You know, we are known for highlighting and bringing West African dance and culture to Tucson, but there's also a lot of other pieces of the puzzle that, you know, we incorporate into the BWPC company. So, I mean, of course, we have classes for children, teens, and adults. Right now, because of the pandemic, all classes are virtual. Mm-hmm. But there's mm-hmm. also that the theater arts portion of it as well that has come into, you know, bringing programming, children's summer programming. We just finished a program with a collaboration effort that we did with the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated with our E3 program, Engage, Enrich, Encourage. So we just finished that literally about last week, I believe, which brought in mentoring, it brought in programming, and we did transition virtual after March. And so with that program, was really nice because it incorporated the Alpha program that they have with their young men, and it also incorporated the dance community with the arts. With BWPC. Mm-hmm. And so they learned everything from, you know, finances, how to make their own pizza sauce. And they did a little cooking class. Mm-hmm. And they also did, you know, how to start an herb garden. And they also learned about redlining and about voting. And because it was during this very important voting opportunity that, you know, they got to see their parents take part in, and then also seeing Kamala Harris come in and being the first woman of color, being the first Black woman and Southern Asian woman to come in and be the first vice president. You know, it was definitely some wonderful speaking points. They did some debating, of course, participated in the dance and drum. And so it was a really good opportunity for our youth in the community to get together and to also have an integration of young males and young females come together underneath the same roof and have, you know, those conversations and have an opportunity to interact with each other on a you know, a positive frame that had, you know, of course, us there to share and to, you know, participate in a dialogue with them. So that was one of the programs that we just finished up. We also have, we have it in the past a couple of years, but we also do the summer arts program.
Kumba and African Arts.
There we go. Kumba and African Arts. We're going to be looking to start that in the coming year as well, as, you know, the pandemic slows down and we get past all of this. And then we continue just to collaborate. We have some wonderful activities coming up with performances that we'll probably do out in the park and, you know, make sure that we do all of these activities outdoors to provide that space. But we are really centered around continuing and keeping the culture alive in Southern Arizona as well as all over Arizona. We have our fourth annual Our Blackness, Our Heritage Step Show coming up, which I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. And then we have some wonderful events coming up for our 7 days of Kwanzaa. That we're super excited about doing this, and it's all virtual except for the first day, our opening day, which is the Umoja, which is unity. So that's what we kind of have coming up, and I can definitely, you know, give you additional information about those activities.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So, you know, with where we are with young people today, and there's so many other things that they have interest in, and mm-hmm. And through your performing company, how do you give them some of that cultural knowledge and history, of which so much of it has been distorted, stories not told, especially of African-American women? How do you do that within the within what you guys are doing at the performing company?
You be consistent, Ken, mm-hmm. because that's what our foundation, that's what we were built on, mm-hmm. is learning. I mean, like I told you early on, when I didn't know, somebody wanted to pay me to teach something I didn't know.
Right.
But I'm not going to disrespect it and say this is traditional African dance and
yeah, just make it up.
I'm gonna go with that. Right. And I'm gonna give it a name until I feel I know enough. I've read enough. I've traveled, and I want to travel some more. But I've gone to places that allow me to have that exposure and see and learn directly from other Black people, other African people in different countries that have, and of course the ones that you work with right here in the U.S. There's, you know, the Black Dance USA that brings people from all over the continent and all over the continents and the islands. Black Dance USA in St. Louis, Missouri, mm-hmm. one of the conferences that I often frequent. Of course, now everything's, you know, closed down a little different. But, and, you know, you go to New York again, you go to New York and you go to D.C. to Conqueron and to their conferences. And you go to Chicago and you study with Muntu and other organizations that mm-hmm. Are studying real dance. And that's what it's all about. It's you, and you read and you listen. And you learn, and you just, you teach what you know, and then you go learn something else and teach that.
Well, that's great. So as the premier West African dance and drum company here in our community, about how can our community help keep that culture alive?
Well, you keep in touch with young people. I mean, I'm fortunate to work with young people as young as 3 and as old, as, you know, not as old, but as, you know, like a university level high school, you go into the schools and you keep yourself as relevant as you can you by also listening to them and empowering them, giving them instruction and also allowing them to choreograph. One of my, two of the children that I work with right now, I'm watching them do fabulous choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And you empower them, you let them take the reins, and then you give them instruction and insight into how to do things better. You train them to be technically strong and give them values that will keep it strong.
Yes.
Keep them strong and positive and understand that it's not only about them, it's about the next generation that comes after them.
Right, right, right.
And that they're responsible for that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so if somebody came up and asked me, and so how can I help? You know, what would you say?
Well, right now, we need volunteers. We want to open up a resale shop, boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And to help that continue on. And to, you know, it's like a Goodwill or a St. Vincent de Paul. How that money as a nonprofit feeds into another nonprofit.
Right, right.
You know, we take donations, you know, so we do fundraisers and people can write it off on their taxes. So that's what's happening.
Great. So tell us, so what makes the Barbia Williams Performing Company a pillar here within the Tucson community? And I'm going to throw it out to either Bia or to Barbia. What makes it such a pillar here in the Tucson community?
Well, I can also say because we have involved ourselves with every community that we feel we had something to offer them. And a lot of times they sought us out because when I moved here, Tucson did not have an African-centered direction or guidance. And we were still in some communities we might still be, but mm-hmm. because we have worked and everybody needs to learn about African-centered culture because it's the foundation of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we not be pillars when we come in here confident about who we are, wanting to and maintain. I don't care how we get knocked down, what gets thrown after at us, how people might mistreat us in whatever or try to demean us. We have a solid foundation. We have Africa. We know who we are. We're not making excuses for ourselves.
Right.
We're here. And
right.
We're not going to, and we're going to pass that torch. And that torch is going to stay lit. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get brighter and bigger and stronger. And it's here to stay.
Right. And so what I'm hearing really is that, you know, what makes the Barbillion Williams Performing Company such a pillar is the fact that it's that you're evolving. You're constantly, you're changing with the times, you're keeping up with everything that's happening, and you're really educating. You know, growing up here in Tucson, you know, I've heard of so many of my friends who went through your program actually and learned how to dance, and I've seen them perform before, and it's so amazing to see them. And it's because of you, and really it's the generations that you keep touching over and over again and continue to touch again. Yeah.
It's because of the ancestors.
Got
because
it.
They have touched me.
Yeah.
And like the Sankofa bird, again, when you go back and get it,
yeah,
you know, the Sankofa bird always moves forward into the future. And on its back, it carries that egg. That egg represents the youth, the children.
Yeah.
And going forward. And they are the future. Our children are our future.
Yeah.
So that's the next generation that we are responsible for.
Yeah.
And we have to take, and we have taken on that responsibility. And when you do, it's like people try to say things for so long. It's like, you're a leader. Well, is that right? Okay.
Right.
Well, that's what you want to call me.
Right.
You know, that's fine. I mean, if that's going to bring us up to another level, but it's not only about me.
Right.
I can do so much.
Sure.
But if your children aren't there, if we're not embracing our culture, respecting it, understanding the importance of it.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on just like, you know, going to Walmart and
sure
all of these other places that are not supporting us.
Right.
They're
and they're not
supporting us.
Right.
All of these corporations.
Sure.
What do you do with billions of dollars?
Right.
I mean, and my thing is, if there is a bill that is in the legislature right now for $900 billion.
Mm-hmm.
How come Black people can't get reparations?
It's very true. You know, also, yes, Barbia, you are a leader in a community. So too bad. You are a leader in a community. You have helped so many people and so many children just learn this. And that's the beautiful thing about dance, right? You learn about confidence. You get to, you go up on stage.
You learn geography.
You learn geography. Right.
Culture, traditions.
Right.
You learn about values and morals.
Yeah.
And why people do things, and you learn about the land.
Absolutely.
That affects them. If they're brought up by a river, or if they're in the forest.
Right.
Or if they're wherever they are.
Sure.
The other people they come in contact with. You learn so much.
You do.
About the weather.
You do.
About the weather around them.
Yeah. And,
and the food they eat.
Sure. And can you say, could it be safe to say that you're just not learning about dance?
You're not learning about dance.
You're learning. Dance. Yeah, dance is just there as a medium. You're learning about a lot. Hey, Bia, can you tell us what events are on the horizon?
Coming up is our Christmas. We as a family have always celebrated Kwanzaa since the day that I've known how to celebrate, you know, holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So from that December 26th to January 1st, is a celebration of Kwanzaa. So definitely, you know, like the Barbia Williams Performing Company page on Facebook so you can follow along, as well as we do, we have created a site for 7 days of Kwanzaa so that you can have up-to-date information throughout these next 7 days, starting December 26th through January 1st.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, that's great. Now, there is one other thing. So, rumor has it, Barbia, that you are a vegetarian, and that, you know, this is a food show, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your vegetarian diet.
I'm a pescatarian because.
Oh, you do eat fish. You do eat fish.
I do eat fish. One of the things that I started when I was in college, there were all of the, you know, again, Chicago, South Side, and going down to Carbondale, Illinois, you had a lot of people that were talking about vegetarianism and being a vegetarian and what it meant for our health, our mental health, our spiritual health. And I remember there was a music group called like the AACM. They were these, the advancements for the creative musicians. I don't think I'm saying it exactly right. That was a few years ago. And I went home to my grandmother, we had just had a bad storm and no one was there to take her to the doctor. And so I gladly took her. I had some time on my hands and was just glad to, you know, kind of bond with her a little bit. But it was at a time where they were giving her the results of her test. Yeah, I've got high blood pressure and, you know, sugar diabetes, and all these other things. So I listened to that. And so it made me even further think that I need to change my diet. Not to mention, people talk about collard greens, that collard greens and all of these greens are also a part of building our immune system that will fight and help people fight against this whole COVID.
This whole pandemic
that's going on. I mean, I've gone back and forth a little bit here or there, but I mean, when I was pregnant with Bia, I started eating chicken again because I kept thinking in turkey because I thought, oh, well, I need my protein. And, you find protein in various vegetables and I enjoy it. I've learned, and Bia cooks like that. You know, Bia is our chef in our family. So, I mean, I don't cook like I used to when they were little, but I just learned a lot. I mean, I have people that even call me every so often about just certain recipes, and I get to tell them to call Bia, you know, because she's the one that's keeping all of that alive. She's the keeper of the recipes for our family.
Well, that's
great.
But
I just enjoy it.
We just recently did a show about grilling vegetables and making grilled vegetable salads and stuff. So, we have a lot of inquiries on vegan, you know, vegan dishes and vegan things. And so we, you know, even at the restaurant, we offer, you know, a lot of people put meat and vegetables. We don't. Mm-hmm. We do put turkey in our collard greens, but for the most part, everything else is vegetarian. So,
right.
So how can our listening audience get in touch with you?
You guys can get in touch with us through Facebook, as well as we can give out the number. So our business line is area code 520-628-7785. You can always leave a message, or you can also DM us on Facebook for any questions into anything that we offer, programs, classes, theater, anything in those sorts, you can reach out to us. And as right now, like I said, we're virtual, but we do have a studio as well, the Dance and Art Academy. So that is something that once, you know, we get through this pandemic, we will be back into the studio utilizing that space as well. And I just wanted to add one more thing in, because this is our major event coming up, which is February 27th, 2021, which we all know the month of February is dedicated to Black History Month.
Right.
Hello. Yeah, yeah. I can't forget about this. This is our fourth annual Our Blackness, Our Heritage step show. And this year it is a virtual step show. And the theme is A Change is Gonna Come in 2021. So we're super, super excited to continue on with this tradition of bringing the Black Greek organizations, our community organizations, tying in now that we are virtual, We are bringing in guest speakers from out of state. We are bringing in some other groups from out of state. We have some poetry, some spoken word pieces. So this year it's going to actually span and be broadcasted nationally and internationally via Facebook and YouTube. So we are definitely going to be on a larger platform, being able to bring that Tucson local energy, but also incorporating it on a national level. So we're super, super excited about our fourth annual Our Blackness, Our Heritage. A change is going to come in 2021 Step Show, February 27th. Mark your calendars from 4 to 6 p.m. Tickets will go on sale in the new year. So look for those as well on our page. But super, super just ready to go with this project, which is another huge project that we do annually now.
Well, that's great. We're really looking forward to the Step Show. You know, the last few years has been a great event, and it's good to see that, you know, even though we can't get together personally, and, you know, but you guys are still having an event, and that's great to keep it going. So we're all looking forward to it, and I know I am. So, but we really, really enjoyed you on the show today. It's been great, and like I said before, when we first started, you've done so many great things around Tucson, and your name is synonymous with African culture and dance. So,
absolutely.
Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your asking.
All right. So, thank you. Thank you, Bia. Thank you, Barbia.
Harambe.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
All right. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. You can find us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can also find us on canshardwoodbbq.com. Just click radio show. This is Ken Alexander. See you next time.